The following episode was recorded before March 2024, and while the content shared is valuable and useful, it features Rob, who is no longer involved in the business.
Hey, it's Rob and Kennedy.
Hello! Today on the Email Marketing Show, we're talking about how you can increase your average click-through rate in your email marketing.
Speaking of click-through rate, it's one of the most important things that we want to do, right? Drive people to click on the links in our emails to go and check out offers, apply for a call, register for a webinar, buy a thing, whatever it is that you want people to do, you need to get them clicking on those links. That's why we want to give you something really, really cool, and we want to give it to you for free. Basically, it's a booklet of 12 really creative ways. It's a booklet of 12 really creative ways.
It's not like you edited yourself in. It's a booklet.
It's a report, all right, because I can easily say that, of 12 really creative ways that you can get more clicks from every single email that you send, right? But you can get it totally for free. It's called Click Tricks. All you have to do is head over to emailmarketingheroes.com/tricks to download it. Now, lesser podcasts than this one would have re-edited that bit to make it sound seamless and professional, but we don't need any boost to our self-confidence, so we're going to leave that crappy one in. Go to emailmarketingheroes.com/tricks.
He can't eat anything cherry flavored. It's comedy hypnotist Robert Temple.
And he hates the sound of plates rubbing together. It's psychological mind reader Kennedy. Is that any plate?
The sound of that material, what plates are made out of,
right?
Like rubbing together, clangity, 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 clangity. Oh, it drives insane.
Like if like wait staff come and take plates away from you,
yeah,
after food.
Yeah, clunkity, clinkity. Oh, horrible, horrible sound.
Interesting. I could agree with you if they were like, you know, like that sort of pinkish coloured plant pot material.
That's what plates are made of, mate.
Only if you're in Greece, like ancient Greece.
When you put them in the cupboard and take them out of the cupboard, and then
oh no, I like that. I'm fine with that bit.
What?
I reckon there are plates you would be perfectly satisfied with.
Plastic
the
ones.
A bit more glossy. Yeah, paper plates.
Paper, tinfoil plates.
With like little, bit like kids' party plates with little
plans
on
the little
side.
Pictures of like, you know, Bob the Builder.
Yeah. That's the answer. And less washing up to do. That's like a win.
It is. You know, I don't like anything cherry flavoured either. In fact, I went to, when we were beating the States quite a bit, attending masterminds and speaking at stuff, I bought a bag of those Starburst and they've got bloody cherry ones in.
I know. I did the same
horrible
thing.
Come on, America.
Flying home from the Bahamas a few months ago and stopped off, grabbed some Starburst. Original flavour. I remember original flavour. They were called local fruits and we invented them, right?
So yeah, exactly.
Americans, stop fucking about with this. Other countries. there was lemon and strawberry. Perfectly happy with those. Orange, that's the dream. But where's the cherry one come from? And it was in a... There was a pink papered one and there was a red papered one. And I assumed the red paper one, it's stupid now I say it, was going to be the strawberry one. And the pink papered one was going to be the cherry one. So I popped what I thought was the strawberry one. Turns out it was a cherry one.
Horrible, horrible. I remember once I accidentally picked up some cherry Coke because it had a very similar label.
All of them quite similar in the UK now. The Cola Zero and the cherry one, they can all be a bit,
I remember being on a bus on the way back from university, dying for a drink, went into the Greggs, and I was like, glug, glug, and I was like, because just that flavour takes over your mouth, like marzipan's the other one, isn't it?
Oh, I like marzipan.
Do you?
I'm perfectly happy with marzipan, I'm not a big fan of the smell of cherry, although Rachel did trip me up recently because I got in the car, said, oh, this new car for air freshener smells lovely. She went, it's cherry.
Oh, dear. Yeah. There you go. Hello. Every single week on this show, we show you how to make more sales and more money from the email subscribers that you've got. We talk about email marketing strategy. We talk about the psychology of email marketing, the tactics, and share what's working right now to make even more sales online, making you the email marketing hero of your business with a brand new episode every email marketing Wednesday. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button on your podcast player.
Woohoo! So let's talk about this. Click-through rates, obviously super important. They're getting more important than they've ever been. And they're important for a bunch of reasons. So let's talk through that. First of all, obviously, when somebody clicks on your link, we've already said this when we mentioned ClickTrix, but when somebody clicks on the links in your emails, they can physically have the ability to get to a page where they can find out more about how to put money in your pocket. With a few exceptions, most of the time, you aren't going to be selling stuff directly in your emails. Most of the time, you're going to be sending people to a thing and get the thing to sell them the thing, or get them to register for a thing, and that's where you'll sell them the thing. Usually, right. That's how it works. So that's the first one. But the second bit, again, this is where this is getting more important than ever, as time goes on, is that engagement in your emails is important for showing Gmail and Yahoo and AOL and Verizon and whoever else there is that your emails are important to people and they are good quality and they are relevant, right? If you've got a bunch of people, and we were talking about this morning, weren't we? I, years ago, before we were working together, I took the engagement measuring thing with a bit of a pinch of salt. And I took it with a bit of a pinch of salt back when you could probably get away with that. It was becoming important, but it wasn't hugely important. And because there was no good, easy system for managing and maintaining engagement and keeping people engaged and putting them through a revival campaign if you need to and all of that. That's why we built one, right? There wasn't an easy way of doing it. That was streamlined and hands off. That's why we built one, which if you're in our programs, check out the LOL revival campaign and just follow through that. That's what you want to be doing. That solves this problem. But this, like, engage, you've got to have something for people to engage with in order to determine have they disengaged or are they super engaged. And the truth is that clicking on links in your emails is one of the best. It's certainly if you look at a balance of good and easy to get people to do, because like replying or forwarding your emails, they're technically better, but they're also hard to get people to do on a daily basis. Yeah. Whereas, so for a balancing good measure of engagement, good indication of engagement, and easy to get people to do, if you know what you're doing, clicks is the one to go for.
And one of the things I think is really useful above all of the technical stuff like that with getting people to click is it's a really good way of you understanding what each individual subscriber is actually interested in.
Yeah.
So it's really good to know that, you know what, every time I send an email about this kind of thing with this angle, this bunch of individual human beings seems to click the links in those emails and really like it. So they're interested in that angle. Whereas they never engage in these other things. But there's another bunch of people, a different bunch of people perhaps, maybe some overlap, who always engage with a different angle. So it's really good for like segmentation, but I don't want to get, when I say that, I'm being very careful that we don't want you to end up doing, and I think we've probably talked about this before, when we first started using a decent email marketing platform that used tags, right? You get a little bit tag happy and you think that, oh, I should tag people. When somebody clicked a link, I was probably tagging them with the fact that they were going to a video. So I would put they're interested in video. Then I would also tag them with, it was about list building. So I would tag them with a list building. Then I would tag them with the fact it was, I would basically have all these different tags. And then would I use that information? No, because if I've got another video I'm going to send out to people, am I going to exclude the people who haven't clicked a link to see a video before? No, because that is the conversion mechanism I've chosen. I'm never going to exclude people who are based on that thing. So don't feel like you have to get all tag happy.
People who only click on a Monday, people who only click when it's Easter. Yeah.
I mean, and that's what we're doing. Like, I sent this out, email out in the afternoon. So these are the afternoon people. I mean, I'm not doing anything with that.
I love the idea of afternoon people, like in some weird Truman Show type film where everyone comes out the house with a badge on, afternoon person. There's a morning person over there. It's 3 p.m. Let's get them back inside.
They're breaking the system. Get that morning person out of there. Yeah, that's funny. So don't go crazy over tagging people, but it does allow you to do some segmentation if it's segmentation you're going to use. For example, if you, and for it to work a segmentation, the thing they click on has to be explicit. And I don't mean it has to be like, Rob's nudes over here, you know?
I mean, nobody's clicking on that. And if they are, we don't want them as subscribers.
The dirty buggers. But But it has to be very clear what's on the other side of the click. So, for example, if you've got a sales page about a list building course, for example, how to build your email list, the link could be, go check out my list building course. You can then maybe think about going, cool, that person's potentially has now engaged. They're interested in this kind of thing. But you wouldn't want the link to be like, hey, I've got a brand new course coming out on Monday. Click here to go check it out. Because by clicking on that link, they're not telling you anything. They don't know anything in order to do that. So you can use what they click on to segment them. So that is a good use of it. A great use of segmentation with link clicking is what we call a link poll. And we use this in a lot of our campaigns. You'll have seen that. We use this in a lot of our campaigns where we have people vote on something. And we'll say, hey, for example, let's come up with a silly example that's not from our industry. Like a really simple one, like in the fitness space, you might have the same person, the same business might have a program for weight loss, and they might have a different program for maybe like bodybuilding, muscle gain type stuff. And they might have another one which is to do with, let's say, recovery. Okay, maybe getting back into recovering from some kind of injury or life event. Cool. In that email, you might go, hey, just so I can serve you best, which of these three things are you most interested in? Number one, losing some weight. And that's a link. And on a new line, number two, building muscle. And then that's a link. And then another third line with a number three, and it says recovering from an injury and getting back on your feet, or you know, whatever the thing's going to be. And that's a link. Now, based on what they click there, because there's a higher level of intent, they're voting with their click. That's a great methodology for getting people to click. So saying nice things to Google that says, oh, this person's emails are good, people click them, and that's good. But also of you actually using that click in a really proactive way. So some really, really important reasons to have people click there, I think.
Yeah. So let's talk now. We've sort of understood why this is important. Let's talk about first of all, actually, let's briefly talk about sort of average click-through rates. This is a tricky one, but it will be a question that you've got in your brain probably. So we'll talk about it briefly. Obviously. So,
yeah. What I was going to say is I think what's interesting, I was talking to somebody this morning about click-through rates and I just thought I'd share the story. So I'm not saying who it was because it wasn't sort of in the context of this, but we're talking about the fact that their click-through rate was like around 1%. And I said, when is the click rate around 1%? And the reason I want to know that is because your click-through rate, like your open rate and like any kind of engagement, is going to change over time and depend on what you're doing. So first of all, it's going to change depending on how many opportunities you've got somebody to click. Like if you have one opportunity in only one of the emails you send out per week, and there's only one link in that thing, then you're not going to get as many people clicking because you're not going to be training people to click, but also there's not many opportunities. Whereas if you send email 7 days a week, they've all got link, they've all got at least one link in, plus maybe like a signature with a bunch of links in it, then you're going to get more clicks. But here's the thing. When somebody joins your email list and you're the best thing since sliced bread, you're the thing that is on the top of their consciousness. You have the recency bias, right? You're the most recent thing that they've engaged with, so they know your name. For those first 60 days, you're going to get the best open and click-through rate of your entire relationship with the masses of people. After that, it's going to deplete, especially if you are sending people continuously to that same one, what we call a robe offer. So for 60 days, we know that for us, Rob, for the first 60 days, we're sending people to different offers, different things using our score email engine approach to talk about our main program, the Email Hero Blueprint.
Yeah.
If by the end of that, they haven't bought, they've had the best opportunity to buy that thing. Like that's our best emails. That's the whole point of the score email engine.
I'll just hop in there briefly throughout those campaigns, because we're talking about it all from such different perspectives in such different ways, cloaked behind different bits of content. The click-through rates there are pretty high, right? So they do pretty well. They are as high as sort of 10 to 12 to 15% of people who are on the list. That's not people opening the email, that's of the people on the list. So they can be quite high. Even at the lowest end, they're higher than all the industry averages that we
have. And also because we present all these links in different ways and they've got different levels of intent, we're also like refreshing the person's attention throughout those campaigns, right?
Yeah.
That's really important.
So but I want to give you those numbers with context for the next bit.
Sure, yeah. But then after that, after they graduate from that 60 days, first 60 days relationship score engine with us, they're now in our live, what we call a broadcast segment. We sometimes call it the snowball emails. Your live, what you're sending today as being received today emails. The click-through rate drops, and it drops quite a bit over that whole segment. And that makes sense, and that is only normal. So what are we seeing on average, Rob, right at the minute? Because you're the person with the with your pulse on the numbers.
So for our day-to-day, it sort of sits at about 1%. But that's on right. The basis that a couple of things. First of all, those emails are, we almost always tell them what it is they're going to look at. So go and check out our program, The Blueprint, and it literally says those words. And so they're only clicking knowing what they're looking at. It's rarely
it's a high intent click we're going for there, isn't it?
And even when it's a bit blind, like we say, you know, get everything you need. So we finish the email and it is get everything you need to do this yourself here. Yeah. People have been around our world long enough, and because we email every day, they've by that point they've been on our list for at least 60 days. They know what our stuff is generally, until the email very, very much changes context. So, for example, let's imagine that we've planned a particular promotion this particular week and it isn't for our blueprint, it's for something else, or we're doing our live event inbox or something else is happening. The context of the email changes, therefore they know that it's something different, and therefore the click-through rate shoots up again. And for the period of that week, we get really high click-through rates like we did when they were in our engine. And then when we go back to day-to-day email talking about our thing, it drops back down again. But that's fine because, again, we know that people are clicking. When they are clicking, they're clicking with some level of intent. And the more they click, the more intent there is there, which is why we do our Tell Me More campaign, where if they click three times in a 60-day period, we know they're super interested and we put them into a more intense sales campaign for that.
And apparently, like according to some research that our team did, when we were talking about planning this episode, the team went away and came back with some interesting data, which is most businesses who are talking to maybe other businesses and stuff are seeing a click-through rate on average of less than 5%. That's what they're seeing. And the average is around 2.62% across the board. And that includes, that average is obviously going to include what we're calling the email, the score email engine, the numbers there. And that's going to be lumped together as an average with that longer term nurture as well. So that longer term ongoing newsletter, email-y stuff.
The reality is that we in recent times have been quite lazy with our ongoing email marketing, as in we don't churn out new campaigns for new products all the time. We're really focused on one product, and we're going to do our daily emails to promote that product. If we were doing what we really recommend and what we used to do a lot of, which is every 4 to 6 weeks, we create something new and run a campaign for it, like a workshop or an event or something we're doing, then we would see our average would be taken up significantly.
In fact, we probably see that. I mean, I'm guessing, Rob, I mean, again, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If it's not the case, just obviously just tell the truth or lie, make it a fucking huge number. When we do something like our annual event inbox, or when we've got like something like that, I'm assuming that our click-through rate takes a massive uptick.
Yeah, exactly. So whenever we do anything different, so if we did more of those things that are different, which we don't, because we're really focused on staying on our lane, then we would see much higher click-through rates. Likewise, our members of the Blueprint and stuff like that, they take our campaigns, and a lot of our customers are much better at us than that, using the campaigns to sell lots of different stuff. We just focus on one thing. But if you've got a bunch of stuff and you want to take those campaigns and use them, then again, your click-through rate will be higher than ours is. Because, so let's go for full context here. Somebody opts into your email list, they go through your welcome sequence. We call ours the getting to know you sequence. And for those 4 days, our opens and clicks are very high. Like the first couple of emails, we're getting sort of 80, 90% open rates, and we get big numbers of clicks as well. Great. Then they go through our sales engine, our score email engine, which will take up to about 60 days for most people. And again, in those, the click-through rates are pretty high. So they are sort of 3, 4, 5, 10, 15%, depending on which bit of those campaigns they're in. If they're in a interest generation part where it's just about showing them lots of stuff and seeing what they click on, then they're a bit lower. But when those people then move on into the conversion parts of those campaigns, they're very high because they've got real intent. They come out of the end of that engine and now they continue to receive daily emails pretty much, well, every day, largely 99% of the time, just talking about the blueprint. Over time, the idea of that offer becomes tiring, if you like, and they become a bit blind to it. And therefore they only click on those links if they want to go, what is that again? And they're clicking with some level of intrigue or intent. Yeah. And then when we sporadically do something random, like an event, because it's different, our click-through rates spike up. With that said, of course, what we do know is that because we, in our day-to-day emails, because we email every day, in the same way that that grows our average open rate, so instead of getting 30% of the list opening an email today, we'll get 90% of our list to open an email over the course of a 7-day period. We effectively hack our way to a 90% open rate. The same thing happens with clicks, right? Because those clicks cumulatively roll forward. So over an average 7-day period, we get quite a big amount, I can't remember the number, but quite a big percentage of our list to open an email, to click on a link somewhere to something, versus if we just did like a weekly newsletter with loads of links in it.
Right. Yeah, I like it. So let's get into some techniques that you can improve your average emails sort of click-through rate. Let's take a look. First thing, one of the things you definitely want to do is test different stuff, right? You definitely want to test different things. You want to test, I mean, we're going to give you some of the stuff to actually test, but the overarching thing is you're going to test some of the things we're about to talk about. And then you're going to find some of those things will improve your click-through rate. You're also going to find, let's just be dead honest, some of these things will reduce your click-through rate because your audience, your approach, the way you've trained them, your relationship, your style, your marketplace doesn't jam with that approach. So definitely carry out some testing. Your email platform will be able to do A/B testing. Just go, I'm going to pick that week. And for that week, I'm going to just test some of these things to see what I can do to improve my click-through rate. And just choose a time. And don't say, I don't think you should be constantly A/B testing. I think that's an unrealistic thing, that if you had a marketing person in your business and it wasn't you, or if you had a marketing department, well, all it was is their job to figure out what works best, or if that's how you're wired and you like to do it that way, then by all means, split test the shit out of everything. But for most of us mere mortals, where marketing is just one of the jobs we have to do, pick a week, that's going to be your project for the week. Rather than doing that promotion, that other thing, or doing that whatever it is, work on that project, your project that week is just to run a bunch of tests.
And I think it's interesting just to bear in mind, the way that I think of split testing, we've never discussed this, so this is interesting to get your take on it.
I disagree.
When I'm doing split testing of emails, I am not really looking to see, I'm not looking to run a bunch of tests and then see, quotes, what works so I can always do that in future. Because my brain just can't figure out data that way. Instead, I'm not gonna come back and say, well, every time I use, well, two things. Let's imagine, for example, every time I use an emoji in the subject lines, the click-through rate went up. And every time I didn't use an emoji in the subject lines, the click-through rate went down. Therefore, emojis increase click-through rate, because that might be true this week. It might not be true in a month. It might be
true. It's also going to get tired after a while.
Exactly. It might be true because it can get tired for two reasons. One, it gets tiring for the people and it becomes boring, but also just trends change and therefore that's not cool anymore, yeah. Right? So that's one thing. But then the second part of that is that it may well be that that's fairly coincidental, doesn't make huge, we don't have huge numbers of data, or even if you've got a list of tens of thousands of people in the grand scheme of significance, it's still not huge amounts of data. Instead, what I like to do is to use the test to try and get the majority of the result from that email I'm sending right now and then, and vaguely satisfy my curiosity. So if I run a subject line test now, say, or run a test on the body of an email today, the way we tend to do that is we run it to 30% of our list. So 15% see one subject line, 15% see another subject line. That's 30% in total. And then the remaining, it waits 4 or 5 hours. And then it looks for the winner in terms of which one drove the highest number of clicks. And then it sends that version out to the remaining 70% of the list, or it might be 60-40, it's something like that. The reason I'm primarily doing it is, in theory, today, in a time that is relevant, because it's not going to change very much, the majority of my list, 70%, are going to see a slightly higher performing version of an email, or dramatically what seems to be, and even that's not flawless, by the way, because it's not a ton of data and it's not a long time to get it in. But it's worth doing it because in theory, what's happening is today, within a timely manner, the majority of your list are seeing the best possible version of an email of the two that you put together. So I think it's important. Some people probably do play the guru a little bit on thinking, oh yes, I've studied the data really dramatically and discovered that if I do this, this always increases click-through rate. Nothing always increases click-through rate, I think. So like that sort of thing. So
I mean, having a link is always going to click. Yeah. It improve the click-through rate.
I want to get, yeah, but the little minor things we're testing. So for me, I'm personally, and there may be somebody listening to this going, I'm a data scientist and I can absolutely analyze the data, remove all bias and remove all coincidence and remove all circumstance and get definitive data. I'm not that person. So, and I don't think most people are. So for me, it's how do you get the best result of that, of this email you're sending today? And if you're as nerdy as us, then you might get a bit of a kick out of just finding out what worked today.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. One of the other things I really like, I think is important when you want to get more clicks is to, we talked about segmentation earlier, but what I really mean here by segmentation in this sort of part of the conversation is segment people who are most, who've got a higher level of intent is what I'm sort of trying to say. So for example, we have a bunch of different kinds of campaigns. We've got a one called a Golden Cloak. We've got one called a Daisy Chain. We've got a whole bunch of different campaigns where they work on the principle that we show you lots of different pieces of content and we pre-frame that bit of content so that when you go and watch that, when you click to go watch that piece of content, we are not only giving people some value, but we're also measuring the intent around that thing. So a great way of increasing your click-through rate is to find the people who are interested in that thing. So they're really interested in the angle that you're selling this thing from, and only email that angle to those people, right? So for example, in our world, if we are going with the angle of our score email engine saves you time, if that's the bit of content we send somebody to, then all of the conversion emails that person's now going to see are all going to be about time saving. We're going to drive a much higher click-through rate because we know that's the angle the person has resonated with. And of course, here's a really important thing about that kind of segmentation. That is only true for now. Because they also might be interested in how it's going to save them time, but they might also be interested in how it's easier. And actually, how it's easier might be the more a higher conversion emotion or reason as well. So make sure we're only emailing the people who have got the chance or the ability to convert. So for example, if you've segmented your list, you know there's a bunch of people who are, I haven't even got started with what it is that you do yet. There's no point in trying to get any kind of clicks from people for your advanced super duper course, right? Like I'm learning to DJ, as we keep talking about on the show. And you don't want to be sending people who've just joined your email list for like three tips you need to know before you start DJ. And that's how I got on the email list. I don't want to be getting an email sequence that says advanced beat matching and scratching. I'd be like, no, I need to know what beat matching is.
Where's my CDs?
Where's my CDs? I'm going to scratch my CDs. That'd be terrible. So that's important. Another thing that's really, really important, I think, is to make sure that you actually have a promotional strategy of what's going to be in those emails. And what I mean by that is if you're just sending emails out that are just content for the sake of content, just to keep in touch with people, give value, to show up and be the expert, that's not the model we're talking about here. We're talking about having a strategy that is promotional. We're talking about having a strategy for your email marketing that sells things. So if you're not showing up with something to sell, then, which means there's got to be a link in it, right? There's got to be a link. There's got to be a call to action in each of those emails. Then then you, that's how you're going to really drive down your click-through rate. I was looking at somebody's emails the other week and I remember it, and they were like, oh, my click-through rate's low. Actually, well, they were talking about their conversion rate being low. This hasn't made many sales. I'm like, okay, what's your click-through rate? And it wasn't very good. And I was like, let's take a look at your emails. And it turns out they, for this particular thing they were doing their own campaign. They weren't using one of ours, which is cool. Because all of our stuff's about, you know, giving you the tools as well as the campaigns. So they were, you know, implementing our techniques, but they just missed the boat on, I need to put a link in each of these emails. I need to have a reason to email that has a promotional angle. It needs to have a hook that is, this is another reason to buy it, or another reason to check out the sales video, another reason to register for the webinar, another reason. That's what it needs to be. So make sure there is a call to action, a clickable link, at least one clickable link in pretty much every single email. When I say pretty much every single one, I'm not talking about 6 out of 7 you send every week. I'm talking about 363 a year of them. There's only 2 or 3 times a year when we send an email that does not have a direct, hey, go click this link. And even the ones that don't, I've got an email signature in them, which has a bunch of links in them. So make sure you've got to have one of those in.
A lot of the time, those emails, again, they're few and far between, are often designed to increase the click-through rate of the email that's coming tomorrow. So they're like getting people primed and ready and excited and sitting at their computer with their finger 3 inches above the mouse, ready for the next day, because we know that our click-through rate will be higher than if we did that. And again, rarely do we do it, because if you do that sort of thing too much, it stops working. Mm-hmm. Not only do you want to include a call to action in every email, as Kennedy said, but you also want to make sure that these are clear and bold call to actions that drive a click through different emotional motivating factors. So sometimes it might be because they can see the benefit of what's on the other side of that click. You know, you talk about the benefit of the program or the benefit of the webinar or the benefit of the thing. Sometimes it works through blind curiosity, right? It's literally just a lot of the time the first email of our campaigns is something that's in called the seed phase of the emails. If you're in our programs, you might have seen our SVVC campaign training, but S stands for seed, and it's literally just planting the seed, letting their mind water it, and you just stand back and watch. And that usually is driven through pure curiosity. We get some of our highest clicks and lowest intent, but still high converting, if you know what I mean. They're the hyper responsive action takers who just click and buy fast. They don't need a lot of seducing. Or fear of missing out. So benefits, curiosity, fear of missing out towards the end of a campaign when an offer is closing, there's urgency, or if you only had 10 places and now there's only 2 available, there's scarcity. So again, those are just a few of them, but you want to make sure that you've got your call to actions appeal to different benefits. You know, sometimes you want to watch a funny film, sometimes you want to watch a sad film, sometimes you want to watch a scary film. We need to make sure that we're triggering different emotions in our subscribers. They don't always get driven by the same benefits. They don't always get driven by curiosity. They don't always get driven by FOMO. You've got to use a combination of these things. Otherwise, if you use it too much, it'll drop off, right? Overusing anything is what is going to reduce the effectiveness of that thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And to make all of that work, you really have to make sure that your call to action really stands out so people can't miss them. And this is sometimes so easy to get wrong and not even know yourself it's going wrong. Because when we switched to, or we were playing with or something, we were doing something with another email platform anyway, and we sent that, we highlighted the thing, put the link in, and we realized the email platform wasn't even underlining the text that was a link. It wasn't making it a different color. It was literally invisible. And I've seen that happen on like WordPress blog themes and stuff like that as well, where it's just not completely obvious that it's a link. It needs to be absolutely no doubt there's a link. So much so that if we put an image of like a screenshot from like a thumbnail from a video into an email, we know that some people won't think to click on a picture of a video because they know you can't play videos and emails, right? Some people will, and that's the whole intent of doing that. But that's why underneath those thumbnails, we always, always, always put a blue, old-fashioned, underlined bit of text that says, or click here to watch it now, or some kind of text. You want to make sure that your call to action really stands out. You want to put it on its own line sometimes. You want to make sure it's highlighted in a different color. So that means change the color of the font, the text itself to being like blue, like a proper, this is a link kind of blue. Make it underlined. People know you click underline stuff. There's a whole bunch of different ways you can dress up your links. In fact, that's exactly what that free report, that Rob mentioned, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you go to emailmarketingheroes.com/tricks, you'll see 12 different ways that we dress up links, and they do stand out. Sometimes they're on their own line, sometimes they're mid-sentence, sometimes they're all these different things, but how do you dress them up so that they really draw people's eyes to them? You don't want the link in your email to be like a game of Where's Wally or Where's Waldo. Like, that's not what you want. You want it to be, oh, there is a link to click. This is why I'm going to click that thing, and I know exactly where the damn link is. You don't want to hide the damn thing.
And we use multiple links across this as well, which is one easy way of making the link stand out, right? If you've got four of them, people are less likely to miss it than if there's one. So the longer an email gets, typically the more of these we'll put in, and then we'll do them in different ways. Again, you'll get some of those different ways from reading ClickTricks. But for example, in one of them, it might be a direct, I'll give you two, it might be click here to look at this, and they'll literally have the instructions. But in other places in the same email, we'll just reference the product and we'll just link the name of the product. So, we might say this video and link the words this video, and then further down in the email say click here to watch the video, and it's more of an instructive link. So again, you want to use multiple throughout it, wherever you can, towards the end of a campaign, in the middle of the campaign, we often start putting links in the first line somewhere. So I made this video, link the words this video. So again, as you go through this, you can, again, the longer the email gets, so if it's like a four line or three line one, your first email, you only need one link there. But like as it gets longer and it's got testimonials and stuff in it, then you want to start to put more links in, put them above, put them at the bottom, effectively giving people a too long didn't read approach without putting those words in specifically. So they have a link at the very top they can just get to quickly.
And you know, the thing that is really a really great way of increasing your open rates and click-through rates is keep your list clean. One of the very early things we do inside of the Email Hero Blueprint is give you our approach, complete system to deploy your list, to clean up your list, get rid of the dud subscribers who have, you know, fallen asleep on the job and are no longer reading your emails, damaging your sender reputation, stopping you getting your emails delivered to all the people who do want to receive them. And the reason it's one of the first things we do in the program is if you've got a low click-through rate as a percentage of your entire list, you've got 10,000 people, but, you know, 9,000 of them, hopefully not, but if 9,000 of them are all asleep and have changed email addresses and no longer love you anymore, then you're only going to be able to possibly try and get clicks from that 1,000 people. And that's going to be bad for your sender reputation. So a great way of getting more clicks is to make sure you're only sending emails to people who are alive and kicking, who are still engaged, who are still eager to learn from you, hear from you, and know what it is that you've got going on. So keep that list clean. That's a really, really important thing. And of course, to do a lot of this stuff, you can use automations, you can use maybe some AI probably, all to take a look at and keep an eye on people who are disengaging, what works, what doesn't. Do your split testing. You don't have to do a lot of this stuff manually. All of this stuff is built into your existing email platform, and you just need the campaigns and the strategies. If you want our campaigns, if you want our engagement campaign to clean up your list, if you want our approaches and our exact emails, even if you don't want to learn this stuff, you want to just have the emails which have all of these different ways of increasing your click-through rate already built into them, you can just copy, paste, and send. You can go to emailheroblueprint.com. If you're not already enrolled in our Email Hero Blueprint, go to emailheroblueprint.com. You can get that. You can get access to more than 45 different complete, that's hundreds of emails, complete system, every single email you'll ever need to send to convert more of your email subscribers into customers. So yeah, that's all over at emailheroblueprint.com if you want to check it out and you haven't already. Wow, that was really interesting discussion because there was a lot of that stuff. Recently, Rob and I have said, oh, why don't we make our own private notes and bring our own ideas without sort of pre-planning everything. So it's always quite interesting to get into a discussion like we did today. It was quite good fun. All right, Rob, you've got a
subject line of the week. Subject line of the week.
Haven't you?
I have. It's the words, your unsubscribe rate, full stop. It's quite cool because it sort of sounds like you might be talking about their unsubscribe rate specifically for the people on your list who've been already thinking about their unsubscribe rate. They're like, oh, this is really timely. I've been thinking about my unsubscribe rate. The email itself.
It's a concern for a lot of people, you know, people in our market, isn't it? Like we're speaking to something that people already do have on their mind.
Exactly. So yeah, pick a thing that you know your audience are worried about and just put that in there. Your, you know, unruly child or, you know, whatever it's going to be. If you can make it sound like it could be almost like a complaint or in different contexts, they would read that as maybe a complaint or something to be like sort of worried about. And then they open the email to find out what it is. And the opening line of that email was, if your unsubscribe rate is higher than you'd like it to be, and everyone's is. So if you're, you know, child is playing up at dinner time more than you'd like them to be, that kind of thing, then
if your weight is yo-yoing up and down,
yeah, what it really does is it really directly uses a subject line to grab at their attention, even if they haven't been thinking about that thing. They are now, because they're aware of what it means, and as soon as they get in, the opening line draws them down to read the rest of it.
Yeah, I like it. That's this week's
subject line of the week. Subject line of the week.
Another fabulous episode. A bit of a longer one today because we decided to make it more of like a discussion and stuff. So hopefully you found it valuable. If you did, let us know. Do send us a message, or even better, tag us on a social media post at Rob and Kennedy on Instagram. We'd love to see what you're listening to. And if you haven't already, make sure you do hit subscribe on your podcast player to make sure you don't miss next week's episode. We've got another great one planned for you and would hate you to miss it. So if you hit subscribe on your podcast player, that means it'll automatically download to your device and let you know with a notification that the new one's out next email marketing Wednesday. And we'll see you then. Cheers a lot.